Blog Talk Radio.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I'm married to this gang, that's who I made my wife. Said I'd die alone, I told that she probably right. One thing that's for sure, not a stranger to this life. Got a safety full of Franklin and a shoulder full of stripes. I don't know it like myself. I say self-made, meaning I design myself. County jail fade, you can pull my file yourself. Spot rage, swallow rocks, I'm getting high myself. Nah, damn right, I like the life I built. I'm from West Side 60, I might got killed. Standing so tall, they think I might got stilts. Legendary baller like Mike, like Will. 96 Impala, thug life on wheels. Up against the wall, squabble at Fox Hill. Like a mother boss, ask me how I feel. Successful street, touching them first meals. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I got everything I said I was gonna get on my kid. In addition to that fact, I went legit. I'm now according to the way that I'm positioned. In the biz, it look like I'm just gonna keep on getting rich. I know that Westside RSC's is us. LAPD on my d- I'm a squeezing bust. If a rap did switch cheese and bust, all this rap money, look, I need too much. Money, loyalty, and love in the dream we trust. You'll be switching up the players on your team too much. Tiny Copy, that's my loc, Young Supreme, what's up? And we travel around the world getting cream or what? Ain't you get off on whoever hustles seem to rush? Las Vegas strip pop, yeah, you creamed them punks. After all that looking tough, all he seen was stuff. 50 Cent and Mayweather flee the scene with us. True story. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look.
Oh my God, I have to give a shout out to my engineerical guru on the ones and twos, setting it up for your girl. My engineer, Dr. Dana King, TTLO, all day, every day, every day. That's how you got to do it before you get into your professional mode. You got to turn into, you know, who you are on the other side. You know, we got two conversations, right? You have the professional, and then you have 71st and Jeffrey, that's why I'm so you got that other, you got the Chi-Town conversation, and then you got the profession. You got to know how to turn it up and down when you need to. But every day, TTLO. And I'm just saying, it's Thursday, guys. It's a good day. We're going into the Labor Day. We got people on all from Labor Day, like I am. And I'm looking forward to this extended weekend and to get in. Sessions. I was like, you know what? It's time that we go right into school. It's time for us to are building and working and putting themselves into action. So I'm just glad. Thank you so much for coming out there. I just thank you to my family. I just love you guys. I thank you to all, everyone that's come to listen in. Hopefully I'm giving you the information that you need. But it's Thursday. It's Thursday. And my intro changed. So I feel like a new person. I feel like I'm just on a whole nother level, guys. Whole nother level. But, I mean, when it comes to building your nonprofit, you got to focus on these key essentials. These things are going to definitely bless you today. It's going to definitely help you get to the next level. It's going to definitely empower you to do the things necessary to get this nonprofit off the ground. Or it may just, you know, inspire you to go in and connect and collaborate with another nonprofit. It's going to give you what you need. And each one of these elements are going to be addressed specifically in each bullet point in each different show that we're going to do. So I'm just happy. I'm on 10 right now.
All my life.
Stop, pay the price.
Got the rolling really dice.
Just come on in, let's get down to it. So transition into our break, and we're gonna get right into the meat part of it. But come on, let's log in. Let's make some things happen. Let's put some things into flow. Let's everybody that's a nonprofit, a founder, a CEO, whatever you got going on in the nonprofit chapter, come on, share your knowledge. Give me a little bit of information while I'm blessing y'all with all this elements. Talking about making peace today, right here, right here, all of you, the girl is that hurting. Successful street,
touching them first meals. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice. Got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice. Got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I got everything I said I was gonna get on my kid. In addition to that fact, I went legit. I'm the now, according to the way that I'm positioned in the biz, it look like I'm just gonna keep on getting rich. Ah. Know them Westside RSCs is us. LAPD on my I'm a squeezing butt. If a rap diss, switch cheese is butt. All this rap money, look, I need too much. Money, loyalty, and love in the dream we trust. You'll be switching up the players on your team too much. Tiny Copy, that's my loc, Young Supreme, what's up? And we travel around the world getting cream or what? Ain't you get off on whoever hustles seem to rush? Las Vegas strip pop, yeah, you creamed them punks. After all that looking tough, all he seen was stunts. 50 Cent and Mayweather flee the scene with us. True story. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life.
Damn, and I don't know about it. I'm in a song right now, I'm just sitting here, he's snapping his fingers, I'm like, I didn't turn all this to my phone, I'm thinking I'm just chilling right now, but thank you again. We're talking today on Grindology of discussing the major keys to starting and operating a successful nonprofit. Like, you have to have these particular elements. Last Thursday, we had a great conversation with Focus Fairies, and that really just ignited what we needed to discuss today, because there are major, major elements. Some people just think that just starting a nonprofit is just getting that 501c3 and just going in and, you know, and just thinking that they're going to just take everything and do everything and make this thing happen. You're not out here. You're not by yourself. You can't start a nonprofit by yourself. You need at least a minimum of three just to get it off the ground. You, your mom, and your uncle, or whoever other, you and another two people, you still have to get it off the ground. So you can't even start it by yourself. You have to have these key elements. So I'm not going to even, like, go into a whole lot of communication, but I just have to say, like, August 15th, was my birthday. I'm still in August. Like, after tomorrow, it'll be over. Hi, Dana Paige. I mean, like, it is, like, so, it is so crazy. Like, and I shared my birthday with none other than the great Nipsey Hussle. Like, that was, like, one of my major reasons for changing the intro to Grinding All My Life, because, like, Nipsey, me and him share the same birthday, so I just feel like, you know, he implemented some really good stuff into the communities. He implemented and started businesses. So not only did he sow into his community, but he started businesses as well. And he created a great, great, great platform. Too bad that he lost his life at an early, early age, but he put a dent into his community, and he put a dent into the lives of others. And when I say that it's just an honor to be able to share a birthday with that man, I'm just like, you know, I just swag salute that man. He's doing good, doing good. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty. Let's talk about these essentials. Let's talk about the first essential that you should have when operating a nonprofit organization, and that's having a clear mission statement. Guys, you have to know what your mission is. You got to know your mission in order to know what direction you're going in. We got to know, when you're starting your nonprofit, we got to know what you're passionate about. We got to know the different elements of where you're going and your reason for starting a nonprofit. There's never been a nonprofit that started without a purpose. Your mission is your purpose. It lets us know exactly who you're trying to help, why you're trying to help them, and what is the big impact of it, whether it's feeding the homeless, whether it's clothing, whether it's providing food. Good evening, Sandra. No matter what it is, you have to have a clear mission statement. It gives you a direction. A nonprofit without a mission statement is like, you know, having paper with no pen. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but it is. Like, you know, you got to have the utensils.
A ship without a sail.
A ship without a sail. I like that. See? They say without a vision, the people perish, right? Without a plan, you just all over the place. But the mission is your foundation. So how do we identify a mission statement? It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. In your mission statement, you have to identify what you're going to do, who you're going to serve, and why you're serving them. That's just it, whatever it is. Clear cut, it can be one sentence. And it makes it easier for people for you to communicate with other people. You're saying, hey, I'm starting a nonprofit. They're going to ask you, okay, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm feeding the homeless in the Chicagoland area. Okay, that's good. That lets people know. It doesn't have to be all complex. It doesn't have to have all these extra adjectives to make it seem like, and it doesn't even have to start off by saying that, you know, something to change the world. Sometimes we have a lot of, how can I say, normal mission statements. Just make it normal. You know, you ain't got to change the nation. You ain't got to feed the world, you know, if that's not your mission. But just make it real. Make it come from the heart. You know, a lot of times, when people are telling me, like, their nonprofits and what they're doing, like almost the one that I'm working with now, Yala, mm-hmm. Young Adult Living Assistance. And all she wants to do is be able to provide toiletries to teenagers.
Hmm.
That's our mission.
Wow.
It's simple. Is it impactful? I mean, definitely. It is definitely impactful. So it lets
That's
me.
That's huge. I never even heard that.
Yeah, and she just recently started this year. She got a 501c3 almost like 2 months ago, and now that's all she wanted to do. She wants to be that resource for teenagers. She wants to be able to provide toiletry. She wants to be able to provide, you know, hygiene products, things like that, like stuff that's needed. And she, for teenagers, that's simple. That's a mission. If I don't know like anyone else, guys, that's a mission. You know, that's a clear-cut mission. You understand it. You don't have to say, I want to provide various items to support teen, adults, live. You know, it's just like you don't have, she just want to provide poetry. So that is a major, major essential. You're starting a nonprofit, think of your mission. What are you, who are you supporting and why? And then that sets the foundation for everything that you build that nonprofit on. Very, very serious. Another key essential, major key to starting a nonprofit is having excellent record-keeping practices. You have to start off putting your records in order. Whether it's like the first document that you have as a nonprofit is your articles of incorporation, your EIN document numbers, your if you're starting a bank account, your bank account information, your 501c3 document. Like those are the things that first documents, you have to be able to make sure you have them on file available. Because once again, that is the foundation that builds everything else for your nonprofit. You got to have it ready. Like normally when I do a 501c3 service for a nonprofit organization, I give them all that in the dough. If I do it face-to-face, I give it to them in a binder because they need to be able to have access. I don't know anybody else, but I keep all my essentials in a binder, even my personal stuff. Like, you know, some people keep their things in safes and, you know, have certain things in safe, which is definitely a good option. But I keep all that ready available. Like, I have it literally in my purse because you never know when you're going to need that information. Somebody's going to always ask you for your FBIN number. Somebody's going to always ask you, or, you know, your they want to see your articles of incorporation, especially when you're starting a bank account. But I wouldn't say keep your banking information on you, but, you know, definitely your essentials. Record keeping is great. You have to focus on your receipts. That's another thing. It's
so
very
so
key.
So record keeping, you said why, well, you gave us one of the reasons. Why else is record keeping so important other than, you know?
I mean, it's definitely for tax purposes and in terms of auditing. Like, okay, here's the thing. Like, once you get to that point where, like, you started your nonprofit or you're actually operating in your nonprofit, you got to have, like, your 990s history on deck. You got to know, like, when you filed your last, 990. When did you renew your articles of incorporation? Because you have to do these annually. There's a lot of things you have to do annually. You have to make sure you have all this stuff filed. I don't know. Some people are not good at filing. But if you start a nonprofit organization or you're operating on, you got to have this stuff ready available. Like, say, for instance, if you're doing a grant, they want to know when you filed your last 990. They might want to know the last your revenue for that particular year. Some people don't know that off the top of their head. You know, good evening, Marissa. Some people don't know that off the top of their head. You know, some people need to go in and, you know, flip through some flip. Oh, okay, that's how much. You know, that's what we made. This is what we do. You have to be able to have a clear device. And these are the different areas where we're going to dig a lot deeper into over the course of the session. We're going to tackle each one of these individually because I want to make sure that I give each and every one of these particular essentials enough time for people to actually operate in it. So, like, another thing when it comes to record keeping is taxes receipts. I said that again. I'm going to keep saying it. Receipts. Because you don't know, like, just like any other nonprofit or organization, you're going to have to identify how many donations you received over the year. You know, how much are your expenses. Now, there are apps that manage these things for you, but sometimes we got old school nonprofit, you know, founders out there, nonprofit executives that like to do it old school. They don't trust the app for nothing right now. You know, not to say that that's a good thing or a bad thing, because my thing is if you have all your paper documents, you know, on point, ready to go, then by all means, you know, don't change it unless you have to. But oh no, we still on number three.
Well,
we ain't even on number three. You try to rush me.
I am not trying to rush you. You got all the time.
But you got to have it on deck, guys. But like for me personally, I use QuickBooks.
Okay.
You know, but there are a lot of different, like, financial apps that are coming out right now. Like you could go on your phone right now and pull up a financial app. And if it's suitable for what you're looking for, like, literally, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't like keeping paper receipts. Why? Because they dissolve, they get stuck in your purse, and then you start collecting, like, a garbage bag of receipts. And then, like, you spend the end of the year. I used to do this, but I thank God I don't do this no more. I would have all of it put up in, like, a manila folder. I won't even sort it. And then at the end of the year, I'm flying papers around trying to collect all the stuff and identify what line item is this and what line item is that. But now with your apps, you have the ability to just snap your receipt and keep it moving. You know, so it can get lost, but you got an image of it. So, I mean, that is an important element. Like, I use that in my personal, you know, in my household finances, but I also use it for my, you know, for my business. If you got a small business, yeah. If you got a nonprofit, definitely. You have to save those things. You don't know what a write-off is unless you are a tax preparer or you have, you know, those financial, you know, strong financial background. You don't know what you can write off. You don't know what percentages you can write off. So it's just best to keep good records. Start now, documented by the quarter, documented by the year. If you have employees or if you have people in your nonprofit that you're actually paying, you have to track this stuff because you have to pay taxes quarterly. You have to pay unemployment taxes, you know, state unemployment, federal, you know. So there's so many different elements. But the reason why overall that you have to keep good records is for compliance. You know, you want to stay out of owing the IRS.
You don't want the problem.
You don't want those problems, especially when you ain't got that. If you got the money to back up some problems, I can understand that. That means you can afford an accountant. But if you don't have the money and revenue right now at that time, why are you going to sit there and play those games with yourself and put How many people avoid the IRS when they see those letters? I cringe when I see an IRS letter, but now I know I got to tackle it, right? But, I mean, like, we don't want to see them.
I get excited when I see them.
I hope it's a check behind it.
Because my name ain't on it.
Because your name ain't on it. A mess. But, I mean, so, guys, that's another major key essential is making sure that your records are on point. I know when we're working and we're trying to manage our nonprofits and our small businesses at the same time, it's not easy to do that. But you have to set aside some time, schedule yourself like 30 minutes a week or whatever to just do that. And if you do have an app that snaps your images, then you can focus on that stuff later. And then you can just throw the receipt away. You don't have to carry a lot of paper. So let's tackle this third one. And this is one that we were talking about last Thursday with, you know, my girls from the Focus Fairies. And it resonated. It resonated so deeply in my soul. You have to have a existing, useful board of directors. Not just people that are just sitting around and they're just a name and a title. You got to have an active board, a board of directors that will actively engage in ensuring that your nonprofit will be successful. If you just got people just sitting on a name and on a list with names, then it's not benefiting you not one bit. But here's the thing. Sometimes, and I understand this because, you know, you say, well, it's that I don't know who's here for me and who's not. I just wanted to get this nonprofit started. So I don't really know where I can go or who I can engage with when it comes to this nonprofit. I just needed some names. But after you get your names and after you get those foundations, those little parts set, now you have your 501c3. Now it's time to strategically pick individuals that are supporting your mission. They have to have that same passion and drive to see this nonprofit go to the next level. Now, how do you get that? I mean, we're definitely going to talk about this in one of the sessions, but how do you get there? You network. You connect. You bring the individuals that are currently helping you. Because I know some people say, you know, listen, I'm all by myself in this. Like, it's just me, my vision. And I've seen it. I've seen it happen a lot of times. But that doesn't mean that you can't collaborate. That doesn't mean that you can't connect. You know, get those individuals together. Go to these networking events. Go to the events out here. Get out here. Get your name out here. You got your mission. You got your ducks in a row. Go out here and start socializing with individuals. There are millions, millions of places that you can connect to, whether it's online, virtually, or in the community. How many events do you have in the community? How many events do you see, like, your pastors throwing, or, you know, ministers and everything? Like, because they are nonprofit organizations too, and you can be able to connect with those particular individuals and build a strong board, whether it's on the advisory side or whether it's someone that can really go in and solely help you engage with your nonprofit organization. Got to have a strong board. Your board is supposed to be, based on what my girl said last Thursday, an asset. It's an asset to your organization. Now, some people want to ask, well, you know, can I be on the board? Not if you're trying to get paid for your nonprofit. Like, your board members should not be receiving any type of pay. There's a conflict of interest in that. So you have to make sure that your board members are there strictly to help build your nonprofit, that it's not a conflict of interest. We're going to talk about more of that in the other session.
So, no checks for the board?
No checks.
Okay, just...
No checks.
I'm not on your board.
No checks. That means, like, here's the thing, right? If you have someone on your board, right?
No.
That...
So, say for instance, guys,
you have somebody on your board, right, who has a small business in... Like, say, for instance, construction work. You know, like they know how to do demolition and construction work. And it just so happened you received a $100,000 grant that is strictly for helping remodel a house that was donated to you. You cannot bring that individual that's on your board in to that particular grant and write them in that grant. It's not going to work. Now, somebody tell me if I'm wrong, but I have seen it, and it's not a cute thing. You cannot do it. Why, guys? Because, I mean, anyone that's working or ever dealt in corporate or any type of business knows that it's a conflict of interest. You know, so you have to make sure that you have a board that is solely engaging in building and helping you grow a successful nonprofit. It can be family members, it can be friends, it can be associates, whoever. But pick them based on the skill sets that they can actually bring to the organization. If you know someone that's strong in grant writing, if you know someone that's strong in networking and they have resources that are outside of your normal level of network and resources, you have those type of individuals that you can engage with. So, focus on having an active board. Build your board. Get these people in here so that you can grow and build a successful organization and further that mission that you started. The fourth essential is to establish and maintain funding sources. Guys, we got to make money. Your organization is still, even if it's a nonprofit, it's still a business. It still has to bring in some type of revenue. Your organization should not be running 100% off of grant funding. It doesn't work. Because once that grant is gone, then you have to close the doors of your organization. There's only a certain percentage of a makeup that you should have when it comes to grant donations, you know, fees for services, so on and so forth. You have to make sure that you have an established and maintained funding source. So what is that? You know, right now, social enterprises I'm building where people are starting businesses solely to fund a mission. So there are so many different areas that we're going to discuss coming up about establishing and maintaining funding sources. We want you guys to have a consistent flow every year of revenue, whether it's coming from donors and you have a really strong donor base, really great fundraising. Like, a lot of people don't like asking for money. You cannot have a nonprofit organization out here, guys, and you can't ask for money. I'm just telling you, it doesn't work. You got to be able to sell your mission. You have to be able to tell people your story, and you got to put the passion behind it so people can give you money. You can't be proud in this thing. I don't want to ask nobody for nothing. I don't like, if you don't like selling, then I don't know. I mean, you got to sell in your small business. But sometimes we have this makeup that we're afraid to ask people for money. Why? Is it because we're afraid of the rejection? We're afraid that people might say no. And if they say no, then so be it. I mean, there's going to be some people that are going to say yes. There are going to be people that are going to sow into your mission because they believe in the purpose that it and the impact that it's going to bring to the community. You just got to be able to sell your story. You got to be able to communicate. You got to know how to effectively go out here and socialize and get the connections. I have some clients that go out there, and I mean, they go in 100%. They sell their story. And even if they get that rejection, they just dust their feet off and keep going to the next one, you know. But eventually you get that yes. And hopefully you get someone that got a lot of money or a corporate sponsor or somebody, a business that got a lot of money that want to give you money. I believe that, guys. I know it's out there. But that is a very great and important element. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to drink some water. And we're going to get back into the essentials, the major keys to operating a nonprofit. I want you guys to be successful. I don't want you to be out here scared to go out here and communicate and connect and network. I want you to be successful in what you're doing. And we're going to do just that. So, like, you know, hold off. Let all that stuff resonate in your spirit. Like, she's going to bring this all together. I'm telling you, you just got to stay tuned. We will definitely be right back. I know.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But having
Thank you.
You know what? I got that. But you are so right. Thank you so much, guys. We are Grindology, and I'm your girl, the Pat Hurst, and we are talking right here on TCLO. Yep. We are right here on TCLO discussing the major keys to operating a successful business. And Sandra Davis basically said that a closed mouth does not get fed. And that is so true. When we're trying to go out there and impact the community, you have to rally. You have to communicate. You have to tell the story. Because if not, then who's going to say it? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to solve? Who's going to put and invest in your nonprofit organization if you don't open your mouth? Open your mouth. Oh, my God. But, like, we were touching on the major keys. So we talked about having a clear mission statement. We talked about how important it is to have excellent record-keeping practices. You have to be able to start that stuff off now, guys, before you start to grow. Because if you don't put the plans and the processes in initially when you're starting your nonprofit, then sometimes that stuff gets out of hand, and then you find yourself scrambling, trying to bring all this stuff together. You don't want to be all over the place. You got to have some structure, some order. You got to know where everything is, especially when it's only a few of you. When you're just starting, 9 times out of 10 is you doing all the legwork. So you should always just put it in, put everything into perspective. Put it back into play. Make sure that everything is consistent and structured. You got to have an active board of directors. You got to have people that are going to rally and fight and advocate for your mission.
Can you repeat that again? Number 5, make sure what now?
Make sure which one?
Number 5, that you just said.
That, you were so silly. It was not number 5. That was number 2. We're going over the.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make sure the people ask me about the stuff, so I'm typing them in the thing. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I am reiterating, piggyback,
do all that.
I am going back. I'm going back to the things we talked about. Think about this. Oh, my soul. Like, what? Okay. So, you got to have a board of directors. They don't be listening, guys. Like, how are you in here and you don't listen? But you got to have an active board of directors. And you also have to establish and maintain funding sources. You got to have it. We're going to talk about how you do that, how you create funding sources. Where do these funding sources come from? We're going to talk about that in these sessions. So, like, as you see these alerts pop up, guys, you know, just subscribe, just go into the DM. If you got any questions that you would like to ask specifically about these particular essentials, then let me know. Just, you know, hit your girl up, and we'll go from there. Now, the fifth major key. Like, I had to look off when I said that, so, because, you know. Are you ponding the river over there? Oh, Jesus, help me. And it was the connection. See, these nuts. They are whole nuts. But but the next essential is don't forget about your public relations. You know, as a nonprofit, don't neglect your public relations. As a for-profit business, always make an effort to promote your nonprofit organization, whether it's at a family picnic, networking with local business communities. Press release are another excellent way to inform your public about your nonprofit accomplishments. You got to make sure that you use public relations. Use your public relations. That's just basically what I was saying about you guys going out here and making sure that you communicate. Go out here, socialize, network. You know, I don't care where it's at. You know, because you never know. Like, you might have that aunt who wants to start a nonprofit. You might have that aunt who could use your services. You might have a friend or a neighbor that can be able to actually contribute to your nonprofit. So it's important, guys. Make sure that you go out here and you make a presence for yourself. You know, how do you make that presence? In so many different ways. You got to have a website. You got to have a Facebook page. You got to be on Instagram. You got to go out here. Like one of the individuals that I see constantly, you know, out here just constantly making a presence, Yana Banks, you know, Focus Fairies, you know, everyone, nonprofits that are out here just doing great things, you see them constantly posting pictures, letting people know, getting the word out here, educating people, communicating and interacting. You know, you have to be able to do that. Another key essential that you have to make sure you do is avoid founder's syndrome. And when you say, well, what's founder's syndrome? Like, it's a burnout. It's a term for being burnt out. But founder syndrome occurs when the founder of a nonprofit becomes too wrapped up in the day-to-day activities, doing it all alone instead of delegating to members, hindering the growth of the nonprofit in the process. Soon, running out of nonprofit assumes the personality and the personal goals of the founder instead of following its mission. So you're too busy dabbling in all the day to day. You're making sure that you got to put the website out there. You got to, you know, put out the donation letters, and you're doing this all by yourself. You know, you got to go out here and then you network. Then you got to go out here and make sure that, you know, your compliance is done. And then you have to go and start the fundraising. Like, you can't do it all by yourself, guys. And if you find yourself doing it all by yourself, you're going to get burned out. That's just it. You're going to get so discouraged about doing everything and that you may stop. And you never want that to happen, because your nonprofit, at the end of the day, is supposed to grow beyond your existence. That means, like, the start of, like, say, for instance, the person who started the Catholic Charities is no longer around, but Catholic Charities is still going. You know, Goodwill started, and the person who founded Goodwill is no longer around, but Goodwill is still going. Those are the major plans that you have to have set in your mind when it comes to starting a nonprofit. So how can you do that and be burnt out at the same time, to the point that you just walk away because it's that overwhelming? That's why I always tell people that you have to consider what you're doing when you're starting a nonprofit. You got to consider, even if this is what you are supposed to do. Because some people think that starting a nonprofit is just all about, you know, can I make money? No. You know, you can make money in starting a nonprofit, but it's not solely to put money in your pocket. It's to serve a mission. Now, if you want to make money and serve a mission, you might want to start a small business and then allow those revenues to fund your mission or whatever purpose that you wanted to fund. Start a business so that you can make money for yourself, and then allow the funds and the revenue to build from your small business to go into your mission. I mean, but if you're just starting a nonprofit and you're like, oh, you know, I'm going to start a 501c3, and then I'm going to go out here and I'm going to get a $100,000 grant, it don't work like that, guys. I'm sorry to tell you that. And for me, I don't even write grants unless I feel like you're grant ready. I'm not even going to take your money. Why? Because I feel like a lot of people out here will say, yeah, I'll write you a grant. And me knowing that you are an individual just starting, like, why would I charge you $1,200 for a grant when I know that you could take that $1,200 to make more money for the organization? Like, you can actually start a program with $1,200 versus trying to get me to write you a $100,000 grant that I know you're not. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm being transparent. And that's what I would like to see a lot of consultants out there do, or a lot of individuals that, you know, that help or call themselves helping nonprofits, is to tell them, like, you need to do this to be grant ready. You need to build your capacity. Let me show you how to do that. Let me show you how to, you know, establish some solid fundraisers. You know, let me show you the grants that you can obtain.
versus you looking at these grants that you're going to compete with people who have, like, already millions of dollars set into their, you know, into their budget. You have to know who to trust when it comes to this. And you have to trust yourself to be able to build it. You got fun, Dr. Data? Because he was looking like he had to stare out
sure
into me.
I'm making sure I'm still on the right number.
You on the right number?
Right. I'm still on Founder Syndrome.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm making sure. I don't want no problem.
But Founder Syndrome is real. Like, you can have it whether it's a small business or a nonprofit, because there's so many different intricate elements, like processes and things that you have to do. Like, you have to do that at work. How many people work a 9-to-5 and they see it for themselves, like, you know, you got to do this as part of your job, you got to do this as part of your job, and then you find yourself being, you know, swamped, overwhelmed. It's the same thing in operating a business or a nonprofit, because sometimes you do a lot of work with minimum results in the beginning. But then as you be consistent and continue to work on this thing and continue to network and bring things in, bring people in, bring resources in, do the research that you need to do to help take this thing to the next level, then you find it to grow. Now, it might grow to the level that it needs to in probably like a couple of years, but you still see the growth. So that's why it's so important that you have to enjoy the journey, guys. I mean, that's just it. You have to enjoy the process. You got to know that at the end of the day, seeing your mission be fulfilled should be the most reward. It's not necessarily about the money. It's not necessarily about, you know, how many people you can impress. It's not, you know, it doesn't have a lot of glitz and glam to it. It's just about serving your community and serving the people behind the scenes. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not starting a nonprofit. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not going to start a nonprofit. Why? Because I feel like there's so many nonprofits out here that I can support. There are so many people that I can bring my skill set to.
You should speak to that, because that's a big one. It's like, some people have that mentality of, yeah, we don't need any more nonprofits. But then there are those, like the one that you said, you're both, the one you mentioned at the very beginning, where there is a need for someone to have toiletries for young ladies.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but she could have had that same mentality too. We don't need another non-for-profit. But then you're right, there are others that you could partner with.
Right.
Yeah. So
you really got to
That's
know.
A tricky one.
Yeah,
yeah,
it really
know.
Is.
Like, it's like saturating the market with food pantries.
You
don't need a food. If we got a food pantry, y'all don't need another right down the street the next church.
Right. Right.
And
I'm talking about literally on the next block.
Right. So partner with us.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's strength in numbers. And people really don't realize that it's really that it's strength in numbers.
Food pantry, they don't get any money.
Why do you
guys
don't get food pantry?
They don't get money. I'm telling you that now.
They don't get money.
They don't get none of that food then.
But one of the things that I was saying about that, which was very key, is that you have to identify where you fit in that process. Like, a lot of people want to be founders, but founders comes with a lot of work and a lot of responsibility. So you have to realize, where do I fit in? And that's how I knew that I didn't want to start a nonprofit, because I knew that over the course of my engagement with so many different nonprofits, whether it was a church or an actual social service, or I seen that I fit better in serving various nonprofits versus just trying to start one. So sometimes we have different elements, right? We have philanthropy, people who have the money and they want to give to specific mission. Then you have people who start nonprofits, the founders, the ones that want to build it from the bottom up. And then you have volunteers, and then you have people who just donate. You've got people like stores who don't give you money, but they give you in-kind donations. But they don't have to necessarily start a nonprofit. Or they start it in a way that it's driven towards helping other people. So it's like sowing into sowing some more. But you have to find, where are you committed? where is that area of commitment when it comes to starting a nonprofit or operating a nonprofit? Where do you fit in? Once you know that and you know the identity of that, then you can move forward. But without these essentials, it's going to be hard. You got to, guys, we're going to just reiterate it. You got to have a clear mission.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have excellent record keeping practices. You got to use an active board of directors that's going to drive your mission. And you got to establish and maintain funding sources. You got to make money. Money got to flow somewhere. And you got to go out here. You got to socialize. You got to, you know, connect. You got to engage. You got to network. You got to sell this thing. And you can't get burnt out. You got to use your resources. You got to use people. You got to be able to invest. You got to do those. It's so many different elements. But we're going to talk specifically on these different elements throughout these shows. Because I feel like we got to get down into the nitty-gritty. I think, kids, we got to get down into the nitty-gritty, kids. We got to get down into actually making these things active. Because I have a lot of nonprofits out there that, like I said, we got Yala, we got, you know, Words of Wisdom, we got Bishop Davis's organization. What's that one? The Start Strong, Finish Strong Foundation. It's so many. Like, I have a ton of nonprofits that are out there that need to really, let's get out here and let's get it. Let's establish the things that we need to bring growth in our communities and make an impact. That's all I want. That's all Grindle wants to do, is just see people grow professionally, and whatever that is. You might not be a nonprofit organization or even looking or even caring about it. You might want to start a business. You might not want to start a business. You just might want a good job that's going to secure you and give you some 401k. That's what Grindle is. We support all the grind. And I am so thankful for you guys to just tune in with me on these Thursdays, just coming out, getting this information. My soul just wants to make sure that I'm helping you guys, that I'm just not just sitting here just bumping my gums, not just my soul, my heart. Okay, I got people catching the Holy Ghost in the background. But I just want to make sure, guys, from my heart, that you grow. That's it. I like to see progress. And I like to see progress in every individual who believes that they can get to where they need to go. And all I'm called to do is my part. So, on that note, we going to leave. I got to go. Dr. J looking at me like, what is going on? But I'm so thankful. We're going to turn into these grind smart, you know, sessions. So, I mean, like, kids, get your pen, paper, your notebook, break it out, ask the questions that you need to ask, because I'm your girl. I troubleshoot for a living. I mean, I literally do. I research for a living. I make things happen for a living. And I'm not boasting. I'm just thanking God that I have that particular skill set. But I will see you guys next Thursday. Just be on the lookout. Holla at your girl. I love you guys.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I'm married to this gang, that's who I made my wife. I die alone, I told that she probably right. One thing that's for sure, not a stranger to this life. Got a safety full of Franklin and a shoulder full of stripes. I don't know it like myself. I say self-made, meaning I design myself. County jail phase, you can pull my file yourself. Spot rage, swallow rocks, I'm getting high myself. Nah, damn right, I like the life I built. I'm West Side 60, I might got killed. Standing so tall, they think I might got still. Legendary baller like Mike, like Will. 96 Impala, thug life on wheels. Up against the wall, squabble at Fox Hill. Like a mother boss, ask me how I feel. Successful street, touching them first meals. All my life, been grinding. grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life. Look, I got everything I said I was gonna get on my kid. In addition to that fact, I went legit. I'm the now according to the way that I'm positioned in the biz, it look like I'm just gonna keep on getting rich. Ah, know them West Side RSCs is us. LAPD on my, I'm a squeezing butt. If a rap diss, switch cheese is bust. All this rap money, look, I